Kobe Bryant has been in the news a lot. We haven't talked about him a whole lot in the Presbyterian worship service because our worship is focused on God, not fame. But he had a 2-decade career, if you didn't catch the obituary following his death. He enjoyed championships and scoring titles, and he has MVPs to his name. He was celebrated mostly for 2 reasons, as I observed it. One, because he was very talented. And I like to tell kids why I never made the NBA. I wasn't tall enough, I wasn't fast enough, and I wasn't good enough. Other than that, I would have been there. But Kobe was talented, but a lot of people are talented. Do you know what else Kobe was? What else he had? Have you been reading and hearing? He had a tremendous work ethic. A tremendous work ethic. From early morning workouts to marathon shooting sessions to a relentless drive to improve himself as a player, there are many examples of his work. I want you this morning to hear this connection between accomplishing greatness and the hard work that takes. If you want to achieve success, you have to put in sacrifice and effort. That's why I want to start with Kobe Bryant. And with Ann's help, I'm going to tell you a few stories about Kobe Bryant now. Pretend this ball is spinning on my middle finger like the Harlem Globetrotters. Okay. Here are some Kobe Bryant stories. A former NBA teammate tells this story. His name was Brian Scott. I heard the ball bouncing. I looked in the gym. The lights were off. It was 9:30 at night. I go to the court to see who's making the noise, and it's Kobe Bryant in the gym. He's out there shooting in the dark. I'm watching him for about 10 seconds, this 18-year-old who just got drafted. And I say to myself, if he works this hard, this kid is going to be great. Apparently, Kobe was known for getting to the gym early. He's from Philadelphia. And when he went to high school there, he would go to the high school gym at 5:30 in the morning. Do you know how cold it is in Philadelphia during basketball season at 5:30 in the morning? And he would practice on his own before school. In 1999, Kobe Bryant broke his wrist, and a teammate was selfishly excited. He was sad for his team, he was sad for Kobe, but he thought, now for the first time ever, I will be the first one to practice. Kobe Bryant will not beat me to practice. One, he has his hand in a cast, and two, he lives 30 miles away. When John Celestin got to practice that morning, he said, Kobe was already in full practice gear, shooting with his left hand. A final story. This just gets you ready for March Madness. A final story. Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, two other famed NBA players, were in the 2018 U.S. Olympic team. They were getting ready for their first practice in Las Vegas, and this is what they told ESPN. We stay at the hotel as a team. We go to our first assignment, which is a team breakfast. And we get there, and Kobe Bryant is already there, his practice uniform already sweated through. He's icing his knees. He has his trainers with him. And we're like, dude, the rest of the team is just waking up. What the great basketball player knew is that to achieve, to have excellence in anything that you want to be better at, it takes hard work. There was a man who came to every one of my high school basketball games. He was the biggest fan in town. He poured soda into our Dixie cups at halftime, and most of it ended up on our sneakers. And he used to say to us, quitters never win, winners never quit. That's probably the most important thing I learned in high school, and it wasn't from science class or math class.
What Jesus calls his followers to demonstrate is hard work and effort and sacrifice, but a commitment not so much to self-improvement as to the improvement of the world. Good work that helps others. If you are fortunate enough to improve your skills or have success in your field or your chosen interest, if you are fortunate enough to have talent and drive to achieve your goals, then ask this question: beyond my own success, what do I hope to do to help others or to help the world using the accomplishments I have? Didn't we hear that from the scouts who said, as I've grown up through scouting, I look forward to turning back and sharing that with others so that they too may achieve. Jesus calls us as followers to doing good work in the world. That's work that is like light shining in the darkness. It goes to places of need and pain and want, and it blesses and it renews and it heals. And when that happens, the person who is serving is given the joy of helping. And the person who receives is giving the blessing of the help, but it is God who is glorified. That's what I would call a win, win, win. Our homeless ministry partner, Family Promise, is having a fundraiser. And I texted or emailed a few friends in the community, and I asked a few church members, those in business leadership positions. And if I left you off that list, I didn't mean to. Let me know, and I'm happy to write you and ask if you'd like to do it. I just said, would you in your business position like to support Family Promise, which helps the homeless? Do you know every single one of those Presbyterians said, absolutely, yes, happy to help, thanks for asking. They do good work, good work, good work. I want to be a part of doing good work. When I raise money for the YMCA, there's one of you that I ask every year, and by the way, it's a scout parent. And every time I say, would you like to make a gift to the YMCA, he says, yes, they do good work. Good work. Good work. Something really good about America right now is how much generosity and how much volunteerism there is. According to the Huffington Post and CNN, about 1 out of 4 Americans volunteer. I would say in this room it's probably 4 out of 4. That's 70 million Americans giving of their time and their talent to try to help make a difference for good in the world. If you add up those volunteer hours, you get 8 billion hours of volunteer help. We got close to that just yesterday hosting the presbytery. In addition to giving our time, you know what else Americans give. They give their dollars. $428 billion was given to charity in America in 2018. $428 billion was given away voluntarily to do good work. I would assume most of that came from wealthy corporations. No. Do you know who it came from primarily? Individuals. Individuals. Who gives that much money to charity? Not foundations and corporations. They do their part. But most of it comes from individuals who in their lives, as I do now, give, and who through their wills, as I will when they're gone, give. That's how most of the giving happens. Where does the donated dollar go? You're asking all the right questions this morning. 6 out of 10 households give to charity, 6 out of 10. And the religious organizations are the number one recipient. By far, by far. Educational institutions are second. And then lastly, human services, health organizations, environmental causes, arts, and so forth. But by far, religious organizations are the top recipient of those gifts from individuals. And secondly, educational institutions. I got a text from the Lionheart School recently. And the Lionheart School started in one of our Sunday school classrooms. And if I can pull it up quickly, it says, "Dear community, We had our 20th annual heart and soul auction, and it was a roaring success. Do you get the lion heart roaring success? We made, at Hotel Avalon in one evening, $365,000. Thank you. And thank you to our corporate sponsors. And then there's a list of about 15 corporate sponsors. So Scouts and Church and other organizations for a long time have talked about the importance of giving, of donating, of giving your time, of giving your dollars. And corporations, for-profit corporations, are now being generous to help. When our youth has its Roaring Twenties auction in a couple of weeks, I know you're going to be there. You've already donated vacation places. You've already donated raking yards and babysitting and dog sitting. I know you're going to bring baked cakes. I know you're going to have other things that businesses donate. And you're going to support the youth of this church because they're going to raise money to do what? Good work. So they can go to Charlotte and then go to Guatemala and help some of the poorest of our neighbors near and far. When we work hard, thank you, Kobe Bryant, for being one example of what hard work looks like. When we work hard and when we point our efforts at doing good for others, it's sure to be a win, a win, and a win. Prophet Isaiah talks about what good work looks like. I won't read it again, but he says, fight injustice, fight issues of unfairness. Free those who are oppressed by systems and by behaviors and by addictions and by anything that holds them captive and keeps them from being their full selves. Share your bread. Share what you have with the hungry. Share your housing with the homeless. Be mindful of those who are hungry and homeless and naked, those who have real world needs. Then the light of God shines. North Fulton Community Charities is one of our main mission partners in the church. I feel like North Fulton Community Charities are like our church staff satellite office, or like our church building satellite office. We partner with North Fulton Community Charities, as most congregations do in this area, and also with The Place in Forsyth up and coming. North Fulton Community Charities just released its newsletter. If you don't get their newsletter, you should, because I know you love to do good, and it's nice to know what good they're doing. They'll send it to you, no charge. They just opened up the warming shelter, so no one sleeps out in the cold when it's below 30 or 35 degrees. And thanks to the Lutheran Church in Roswell, they have a place to stay. They just emailed me their monthly newsletter, and I thought, no, that's just perfect, because I'm working on a sermon about good work. And then they say, here's a summary of what you did last year. You prevented 1,800 evictions through the giving of $1 million. You fed 3,300 households. You clothed 1,100 families. You educated and brought enrichment and counseling and job training to 1,300 adults. You helped 14 people get their GEDs. And you helped 2,600 individuals at the holidays, most of whom were children. Good work. Then they probably cite the most important statistic of all on there, 5,000 people volunteered. That's why we have collection bins in the hallway. That's why we participate in all of their mission efforts. Scouting website says scouts like to do service projects to help others. That's what scouts are about. But when we team up with our pack or our troop, our help is bigger and it goes farther. I would say this. When we team up and work together and point our efforts and abilities to the help that is needed in the world, it's God who's glorified. I brought two props today. One was a basketball, and this is the other one. Remember Danny Werfel? How shall I end my sermon, said I as I woke up this morning. And then I opened up the AJC. Danny Werfel was a quarterback for the Florida Gators. He was a good quarterback. He got drafted in the NFL. I'm surprised no one who are Chomp Swamp Gator fans aren't doing this right now from the pews. I know you're out there. Danny Werfel has given up football.
He was raised, his father's a Lutheran pastor. And he guesses what Danny Werfel's doing now that he's done being the best quarterback he can be. He's trying to make the world the best place it can be.
Danny Werfel's involved with a ministry. He's the executive director of a ministry that started in Florida but is now based in Atlanta. And just yesterday, according to the AJC, Danny Werfel got the Rotarian of the Year award for a non-Rotarian. He got the Humanitarian Award. The ministry is called Desire Street Ministries. It serves people in need. And here's what he said. My dad was a Lutheran minister growing up, and I learned from him what Isaiah taught, what Scouts is trying to teach, what Jesus said. The central theme of the Bible is help the poor and the needy and the least of these. When we do that, it's a win, and a win. Amen.